Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Heart Sunday. Oh, come on. Happy Heart Sunday. There we go. Glad you all could be with us this morning. Before you leave, just wanted you to know that unfortunately, since we can't do the whole meal thing for Heart Sunday, there are treats out in the foyer, so please stop and grab you a treat and just enjoy. Also, there will be no evening or 2 p.m. service today because it's Valentine's Day. So go enjoy with your family and friends and just celebrate God's love. Just wanted to share this little top part here in your bulletin. I thought it was very interesting as we get started this morning. Valentine's Day is also known as St. Valentine's Day. Originated as a church holiday on February 14th to honor martyrs of the faith and saints whose names were Valentine or Valentines. It is believed that the first heart Valentine note was sent by Valentine, who was in prison for a girl he loved. Valentine's notes have been recorded for as far back as the Middle Ages. While the meaning and celebration of Valentine's Day has been changed, it has remained a special day to shower with love those we hold close. What better way to celebrate than the affirming words of love with Bible verses for Valentine's Day? And just there's a couple there, and that's why we're here, right? To celebrate God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And 1 Corinthians 3:13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we have a day that we can come and we can celebrate your love. We thank you that it's not just a day on a calendar that comes once a year, but it's a day that we wake up every day that we can celebrate your love. Lord, thank you for Jesus who died on that cross, Lord, so that we can be one with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us breath. Thank you for allowing us to come in here this morning and to worship you in song, to worship you with like-minded people, to sit at your feet and to hear your word, Lord. Lord, let us not let this day just pass, Lord, but let us celebrate you, celebrate your love, and share that love with others. We give you glory, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. See all your smiling faces out there this morning. We're blessed to be here and blessed to share in each other's love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing about it.
My earnest plea, more love, O Christ.
stand up.
I stand amazed in the presence.
sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful in my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Lord, we thank you for this morning that we can come and sing about your love. How marvelous is your love for us. How great is your love for us. And the most wonderful thing about it, Lord, is in our sins, when we were your enemy, you still loved us. You still sought us. You still came to redeem us. It's a love that's so deep and so great that I don't think we'll ever be able to understand it until that day when we see your face, when we are finally redeemed fully, when we experience a place where there is no sin and there is no sorrow. Lord, we love you so much for this church and for all that can be here this morning. And we pray, Lord, that those who couldn't be here this morning, that you would wrap your loving arms around them and fill their heart, too, with your love and your grace and your presence. Lord, we ask a special blessing on the sermon this morning, that you fill Jeremy with your spirit, and that we take these words from your holy book and we plant them in our hearts, Lord, that we will leave here with a heart for Jesus. Again, I love you and praise you for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in him.
Good morning. Thank you for sharing that song with us. We come to this day, a day of celebrating love and such wonderful songs that we were singing, especially that one, I Want to Know You and Come to Know You. And isn't it funny how we look through life and most everything is you come to me. You give me something and then I will give you something. But if we look in the scripture, that song, I Want to Know You, if we come to John 15, and we talked about this on Wednesday, and if you haven't joined us, I would encourage you to join us. John 15:12 says this all. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus calls us friends. Jesus says, I'll come to you. Just as you are, I come to you and I call you friend. I want to know you more than Jesus says, then let's sit down and talk. My schedule's free. Let's spend time together. What an amazing God we serve. In a world of come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. I have to schedule you in. I have to pencil you in. We serve such a great God that says, you want to talk? My schedule's empty. You want to walk? Let's walk. You want to cry? Let's cry. Because we're friends. And greater love hath no man than he that lay down his life for his friend. And that's why we come here this morning to this table to celebrate that love. That sacrifice that was freely given. No ifs, ands, buts, no do this first. I love you, so I will die for you. Let us pray. Lord, we stand speechless when it comes to your love. We think we know what it means to love. We think we know what your love is. But it's tainted with so many requirements, so many hoops to jump through. But not your love. Your love is a free gift. And that free gift was your Son. And you did that way before you even made us. Which is even more amazing because you knew what we were going to do. And yet you made us anyway. And you made us in your image. Planning the whole time to redeem us through you, through Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We come to prayer and praise time. I have one prayer request from Connie Allen for Debbie Dirk. She passed out after giving blood and hurt her hands. They're both swollen and very painful. So, sounds like she took a nosedive. That's not good. But we want to keep her in our prayers. You know, she just lost Rob, and now this. And me personally, I want to put a praise out there that we are able to come here and worship freely. There's a lot of folks around the world that just don't have that opportunity, but yet they will still praise God. So let's take this to our Father. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd raise up Debbie and heal her and help her get through this time. Lord, we ask that you'd be with each and every Christian around this world and just show them the love and for them to be able to show their love to the entire world, that all may come to know you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again. Before we get started, I have one praise or prayer request I saw online. As you all know, there's not many, I guess, TV evangelists that all preach the gospel. There's a few out there, but a lot of them preach prosperity and don't preach the soundness of the gospel. And one of the ones I follow, Vody Bachum, he's a very strong individual in the faith, and he will challenge you. And when he preaches, a lot of times he'll say, "If you can't say amen, then say ouch," which means he's really got your toes good. But he's very biblical and he's very, very Jesus focused. And it came across on Facebook that he does a lot of traveling, and he has had some major heart failure. And right now he's in Africa working with a school there, and they're trying to get him back here. And he has some younger kids, and he has some grandkids, and different ones around. So if you would just pray for Vody and his family. The last was hit on Saturday. They said that he passed out and was had to get to the emergency room, and they had to stabilize him. But he supposedly is ready to travel today, so hopefully he's being able to get back here. To 36-hour plane ride. And so that's a pretty long ride to get here to get the help that he needs. So if you would pray for that family, I know they would appreciate it, even though they don't know us, but they would appreciate prayers. This morning, as we're celebrating Heart Sunday, we're going to take a step away from 1 Kings, and we're going to look at love. And we're going to look at God's love and the endless love that God has for us. So we're going to kind of bounce all over the place, but our main passage will be in Romans chapter 5. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to share this illustration. When 67-year-old carpenter Russell Herman died in 1994, his will included a staggering set of bequests, including in his plans for distribution was more than $2 billion for the city of East St. Louis, another $1.5 billion for the state of Illinois, $2.5 billion for the National Forest System, and to top off the list, Herman left $6 trillion to the government to help pay off the national debt. That sounds amazing, generosity, but there was a small problem. Herman's only assets when he died was a 1983 Oldsmobile. He made great pronouncements, but there was no real generosity involved. His promises were meaningless because there was nothing to back them up. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to come before us, Lord. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds as we open up your word. Lord, let us not think about what's going to happen later. Let us not think about tomorrow. Let us just focus on you. Let us see you. Let us hear you. Walk with us through your word this morning, Lord, that we can understand what your love is that who you are. Lord, we ask to put your angels around this place, that as your word goes out, it will take root, that it will grow, that it will change us if it needs to change us, but most of all, that it will bring glory to you, that it will bring glory to Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. What is love? Because if we look at love, a lot of times love is like Mr. Herman's promise, his grand bequeaths. We have these things that we want to do. We make these statements, but there's nothing to back them up. So what is love? If we look at it, if we look at the world's definition, it's an intense feeling of deep affection. I love my children. I love my wife. I love butterscotch pudding and cheesecake. Sarah Bell makes an ugly face when we talk about butterscotch, but I love those things. But is it the same? Because we throw love around so easy. If we look at the biblical definition of love, it's a little harder to swallow. It's a little harder to live up to. You see, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I have prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insult on its own way, insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest is love. That doesn't sound, if that's what real love is, if that's love, it's hard to put that with butterscotch pudding or cheesecake. Because that love is a sacrificial love. You see, Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of love. And it says in chapter 5, it says that for husbands, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or such anything, that she might be holy and blemish, without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The definition of love with this definition fits a little more, doesn't it? Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, but how did he do that? How did Christ love the church? Before we talk about how Christ loved the church, let's look at what real love brings. Romans chapter 5 tells us what real love brings. Because is that not real love, that Christ loves the church? But what does real love bring? Let's look at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5 in Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access to faith and to grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in the suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What does real love bring? Real love first brings justification. We are justified by faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It brings justification. What does that mean? Justification means by all rights, legally, I'm doomed. But I've been justified, which means that God says, no, you're forgiven. Yes, on paper, standing here before me, if we look at the long list, yeah, you're doomed. There's not a thing that you could do right. There's not a thing you've ever done right to match up to my standard, which is my Son. But because of my Son, because of what Jesus has done, you're forgiven. You're justified. You're mine. You see, real love brings justification. What else does it bring? You see, that justification brings peace with God. Psalms 5 says that the sinner, the unrighteous, is the enemy of God. When we choose to do things our own way, when we choose to walk in sin, when we choose to shake our fists at God constantly, we are enemies of God. We are born into that sin. That's the curse of the human race. But real love brings justification, and that justification brings peace with God. And what does that peace bring us? Because think about this a minute. God's holy throne room. Who is allowed in that holy throne room? If you were in charge, if you were king or queen, who would you allow in your throne room? An enemy or a friend? One that you have war with, or one that you have peace with? You see, God's justification, love's justification, brings us peace, but it brings us access to God Himself. We can approach the very throne of God and we can lay it down at His feet. And what does He see? We know what we see. We see us before Him just thinking in our heads, how could you? Why would you? Do you really know what I did? Because I haven't really told you the whole story. I've confessed a little bit of this, but I haven't told you the whole story. Really? God sits on His throne and He sees His Son. He sees His Son's blood and He says, my child, it's okay. My child, you are justified. You are forgiven. Stand up. Let me hold you. Let's make this right. That's what love brings. What else does love, real love, bring? It brings us the ability to rejoice in suffering. Suffering doesn't sound like a lovely thing, does it? How do you get love in suffering with Valentine's Day or Heart Sunday? Because what do? What do we suffer for? We suffer for the thing that we want the most, right? How many of you as a kid, you wanted that new toy, you wanted that car? And mom and dad said, nope. If you want it, you have to work for it. So we spent many summers mowing the grass. We spent many winters shoveling that wonderful cold snow. And here's the thing. You all know my children love the snow, but Sarah Bell the other day said, when's the grass coming back? She's reaching that point. She's becoming an Ohioan. Snow's done. But we spend that time doing that so that we can get the money to buy the thing we want. We suffer to get what we want, right? We suffer because Jesus died for us. Jesus said that we are free. Jesus says we are forgiven. I can't pay this back. I don't understand this, but I'm going full tilt toward you. And it's going to cause suffering. But because our eyes are not on the circumstances, our eyes are on that prize, on Jesus. I want Jesus more than anything, so I'm moving forward. It brings endurance, which brings hope. And we can keep our joy. We can rejoice in that suffering. We can say, thank you, Lord. Because a lot of times, suffering is the way to get rid of things that don't belong so that God can make us who He wants us to be, make us into His image. So real love brings justification. Real love brings the ability to rejoice in suffering. And that suffering leads to endurance. That endurance leads to a hope that won't put us to shame, because God won't put Himself to shame. He brings glory to Himself, and He says, that's my child. I died for that one, and that one's mine. So what is real love? We understand what real love brings us, but what is real love? Here's what real love is, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one who would scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we will also rejoice in Him, rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. What is real love? Real love is God looking down at a creation who shakes their fist at Him. Parents, how many times have you gotten angry at your child because they backtalked? How many times, especially mothers, does it break your heart and you have to step away when your child looks at you and says, I hate you? It hurts, doesn't it? And we have that emotion. Sometimes we have that emotion and you just want to knock them into the next gear. How many of you have been told, I brought you into this world and I certainly can take you out? We've all heard that, right? We've heard it. And that's how we feel when our children do what they do. And that's small compared to what we have done to God. So if God made us, He certainly can take us out, right? If we make that threat, God can fulfill that threat. But here's what God did instead. He looked at us and He said, you know what? You're weak. You're weak. You're lacking strength is what the world says. But the Bible says that He looks at us and He sees our sin. He sees how easily we're quick to fall. We're quick to go this way and we're quick to look off. You look at Pilgrim's Progress, that movie. As soon as Christian got out of trouble, he'd go down the road a little bit ways, and not long he's all of a sudden going this way. Not remembering the trouble he just got out of. Not remembering the help that came to get him out of the trouble. I think the best illustration of this is at the very end of the movie. He meets Jesus standing there, and Jesus tells him, you go that way and you keep going and follow the light. And not more than a second, he turns, and all of a sudden there's this old man saying, will you help me? And, oh, where'd the light go? And he's all of a sudden in a trap. He just met Jesus, and 2 seconds later he's in a trap. How easily we get snared. How easily we fall. We are weak. And God saw that. God made us that way. But what did He do? He didn't just leave us that way. It says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, as we said at communion, think about that. We've talked about that before the words, in the beginning, God. before those words were ever spoken, before God ever said, let there be light, and threw creation into motion, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a world. And we're going to make a creation where we're going to put in our image. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to shake their fists at us. They're going to blame us. They're going to curse at us. They're going to do everything that we don't want them to do. But we're going to make them anyway. And not only are we going to make them, you are going to die for them. You are going to restore them and bring them back to where we want them to be. How many things would you make if you knew that it was going to turn on you? If you knew that your creation, whatever you were making, was going to turn on you, would you go forward and make it? I wouldn't. But God did. Because God said, I'm going to make it and then I'm going to redeem it. Because it's mine. While we were weak, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no one than he who dies for his friends. Look at that. He makes a creation that's going to turn around in an instant and bite him. Then he's going to die for them and he's going to say, you're my friend. I don't know many people I'd call friends that turn on me like that. But that's exactly what he does. Because greater love hath no one. Greater love has no one except for God. Look what he did. He had a plan way before he needed one. So we ask the question, how did Christ love the church? Because we as husbands are to love our wives like Christ loved the church. We are to love each other that way. How did Christ love the church? He justified the church by his blood. He died on the cross while the church was a mess. And he made it into his image. Not only did he justify it in his blood, but he saved us from the very wrath of God. How many of you have seen those things on YouTube where the heroes, little baby, little dog, or little kids walking across the street, and all of a sudden this guy just flies over and rolls, and this car comes flying down the road? We've seen them in movies. You've seen it on YouTube, all these hero videos. Except here's what Jesus did. Instead of just jumping, Jesus stood in the way and let it hit. He let the full wrath of God hit him and pushed us out of the way. While we were weak, while we were still sinners, he justified us. He saved us. He reconciled us, which means now we are free. We're free. We're free to walk in his love. We're free from the chains of sin. We don't have to give in to that anymore. We can say no. What did you ever do for me? You've done nothing for me but cause me trouble. Jesus died on the cross. He saw me as I was. He created me as I was. Think about that a minute. God could have... He could have fixed Adam and Eve, but from that point on, he could have redone creation, redone man, and taken that away. But every child that is born to the curse of the human sin. Every child that is born into sin. He lets that continue so he can do what? So that he can come in and say, here's a free gift, I died for you. I want you to be free. I want you to be with me. I love you. You're my friend. Come, be with me. You don't have to fear all of this stuff anymore. Come, be with me. Is there any greater love? I want to leave you with these two verses, Isaiah 43. I want you to hear the catchphrase, the very important phrase of Isaiah 43, starting at verse 1. But now thus says Yahweh, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, you shall not be overwhelmed. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you were precious to me. In my eyes, and honored, and I love you. And I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Do you hear the catchphrase? Did you hear those magic words? They're not really magical, but did you hear those words that God of the universe, the God who gets the universe going, do you hear what he said? Not I redeem you, not that I restore you, not that I'm going to walk with you. But what did he say in verse 4? I love you. The God of the universe put in his book, him speaking to us, I love you. And he didn't just say it. He backed it up. He backed it up on that cross. I love you, and this is the extent that I'm going to go. I'm going to become an enemy to the very one I love. I'm going to become an enemy to my Father. Because I love you. Down to verse 11. I am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. You are my witnesses, declare Yahweh, and I am your God. We come on Heart Sunday, we come on Valentine's Day to celebrate love. But how can we celebrate love with each other if we forget the greatest love? God loved us so much that he gave Jesus, and Jesus took on the full wrath of God. He took on everything that we deserve so that we could be justified. We could be redeemed. We could be clean. And we can hear God say, I love you. Let us pray. Lord, it's hard to understand those words. How could you love us? How could you love me? Lord, you know all. Just like that song, only you know. You know what we've been through. You know what people say. Lord, we tell half-truths to each other because we're scared of what someone else will think. But you know it all. You see it all. And you saw it way before we even got here. And yet you still chose to create us. You still chose to die for us. You chose to stand in the place that we deserve, to take the punishment that's rightfully ours. That's hard to understand. It's hard to accept sometimes. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us not to run from you. Let us not try to hide from you when we mess up. But let us look at your love. And let us come and lay it all down. Knowing that you will pick us up. You will dust us off. There may be a consequence, Lord, but it's a consequence of love. It's a consequence to teach us. It's a consequence to draw us closer to you, to make us more like Jesus. Lord, thank you for putting in your book those words that we all long to hear. I love you. Thank you for demonstrating that love. Thank you for that promise. A promise that we can hold on to. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Again, a good sermon. It's extremely hard to fully understand the love of God. It's a great, wonderful mystery, I think. That us, even in our sins, how much he loved and cared about us. When we spit in his face, mocked him, shook our fist at him, he still went to the cross to redeem us. I don't think we can fathom that much great love. I know that they say the more you've been forgiven for, the more, you know, the better you appreciate it. And I, for one, have been forgiven for a lot. I don't know why, but I know he loves me. And it don't matter what you've done, don't matter where you've been, Jesus' love can remove them iniquities as far as the east is from the west. And all you get the free gift, all you have to do is claim it. Jesus wants our hearts. That's what he wants. He wants us to fully give him our hearts. And it's tough if there's a lot of stuff in there that don't belong in there. We need to work on that. We need to work on purifying our hearts so we have something that Jesus can take and clean up and that we can show that love, that great love that Jesus has to a lost and suffering world. I don't know if there's anybody in here this morning that needs Jesus to fully understand who isn't redeemed already. If you're not, look around you. Now is the time. The days are short. The Lord's going to come. And when he comes, like a thief in the night, he's going to come. He's going to come quickly. And you don't want to be saying, I should have gave my heart to Jesus. Don't let it linger. Don't let it be too late. Now is the time to give it all to Jesus. And he'll fill in the blanks. He'll fix them dark areas in your life. He'll take away that sin and give you that love that we're talking about this morning, the greatest love that there ever was. So we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you need Jesus, please come forward.
Friend, I will worship you until the day.
Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Lord, we praise you for this morning. It went by way too fast. We thank you so much for the blessing of this morning, the blessing of this day, and we ask that we go out this afternoon and show our love to our loved ones and our family and our friends, and maybe try to pick somebody up out there that needs some help, Lord, needs to see your love. Again, Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the love that he gave us. That in our sin, Lord, he came and rescued us from the grave, even though we were his enemy. He came and gave it all for us. That is the definition of love. Lord, we ask that you plant this love in our hearts, Lord, that we can show it to others. And we pray that that day will come soon when we see your face in glory. Be with each and every one of us and all those who couldn't be here this morning, Lord. Wrap your loving arms around them. Keep us safe this coming week. Bless us in our travels and our jobs and whatever we do. We thank you and praise you for your Son and for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming this morning. God bless.